Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast, where editors of Managed Healthcare Executive chat with healthcare executives in the C-Suite and professionals. Our conversations are about the most important issues facing American healthcare today, such as its cost, effectiveness, delivery, organization, and its fairness. Listen in, learn a lot. Hello to those who are tuning in today. My name is Brianna Contreras, and I'm Associate Editor of Managed Healthcare Executive. Today, I have CareMore and Aspire Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Vivek Garg, here with me to discuss CareMore and to dive deeper into home-based palliative care. Thanks for being here, Dr. Garg.
My pleasure, Brianna. Great to be here.
So to start off, I just want to know if you can discuss the relationship between CareMore and Aspire Health.
Great question. CareMore and Aspire Health together are an integrated care delivery system really designed for complex and vulnerable patient populations. CareMore was founded in 1993, over 25 years ago, by a group of physicians who had seniors with a lot of medical needs and saw that the rest of the system wasn't serving them well. So they embarked on a journey to redesign care to support those seniors with complex medical needs, including chronic conditions, preventive care, behavioral health, and now many more services. Aspire was founded in 2013 with a very similar purpose, to reinvent palliative care and specifically bring it to the home for patients and families facing advanced illness that could at times be life-threatening or life-limiting. And so over time, the companies have come together and we've really become one, and really in the last year or two, with a mission to serve more sets of complex patient populations nationally. So we now serve over 180,000 patients across Medicare and Medicaid, health plan partners in 32 states. And with the vantage point that the groups have developed over time, we develop very holistic care models where we focus on supporting patients with an interdisciplinary team, more and more home-based care through home-based palliative care and Aspire and through CareMore as well, and really support people over time where we think we can improve outcomes, improve health, and also bend the cost curve and improve patient experience.
Okay, great. Thank you. Now, you recently released survey results about attitudes toward the return of the house call. What were the chief findings?
Yeah, the survey results were really striking and I think really resonated with us in terms of what we hear from our patients and where we think healthcare is going. It basically showed that people really believe in home-based care. Some of the key findings include that up to 79% of people responded that they agree that people would be better able to manage their health if they had appointments in the home. And over 60% of people who responded, adults with chronic conditions, said they were very interested in receiving care in the home. And that really is consistent with what we see as we've expanded what we do in the home from a medical perspective. In my role, I care a lot about the quality of care, and I think there's a lot of ways to measure quality. And the most important is what patients and families perceive as quality in their care. And it was really striking to see that one out of three adults that we surveyed actually think that quality of care through home-based care would be better, actually better than in the clinic. There was another area of findings about caregivers. And, you know, as we've evolved as a society, people live with fewer other people. People have fewer children. There's less intergenerational families living together. And over 80% reported an interest from caregivers in having care for their loved one in the home. 80%. And that really gets to the convenience and the fact that convenience is actually more than convenience. It's a burden for folks to do everything that they want to do and need to do for their loved ones to help them in their healthcare needs and journey. And 74% of those caregivers said that their primary partner who they're supporting faces at least one challenge regularly in seeing the healthcare professional they need to. And almost 70% said they wish it was easier for the person they care for to access their healthcare provider. So just taking a step back, all the findings, one third of people thought it would be higher quality, hands down. Almost 68% said it would relieve caregiver burden. it'd be better for people, it'd decrease barriers to care. And we really felt like it was very resonant and really fit with what our patients tell us. Where I remember visiting with one of our home house calls teams in Connecticut, one of our physicians, Dr. Paul DeCapua. We came out, we went into the home, and our patient was the husband, and actually he still lived with his ex-wife to save on expenses. And so we had the visit at their living room table. She actually joined. She asked permission because she's still a significant part of his health and his support. So he welcomed her, and we sat at the kitchen table and worked through the visit. And then when we left and went back to the car to go back to the next visit, a neighbor actually stopped us and asked us who we were and what we were doing. And when my colleague, Dr. DeCapua, said, you know, we're CareMore, we're here to do home visits for our patients, they said, how do I sign up for that? You know, that would be a great thing for my family. And so I think there's just a lot of natural importance and a lot of convenience that is really impactful for people's health and needs and how they access care that was revealed in the survey.
Wow, that's awesome. thank you, Vivek. Now, next question. Can you discuss the home-based palliative care program that Medicare beneficiaries can now receive?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, really the government agency that supports the services and benefits of Medicare and Medicaid, have been on a journey of enhancing the supplemental benefits that Medicare Advantage plans can offer. Meals, ride sharing, other social services, respite care, over-the-counter medications and therapies that people need for their health. And so the latest slew of benefit enhancements and supplemental programs includes home-based palliative care services, services under palliative care where there's a reasonable expectation of improving health or maintaining health, and that those could be covered by Medicare Advantage plans, which are private entities that have to meet these standards of benefits and services. And this also allows Medicare Advantage plans to tailor the programs to specific populations. And that's really from a resource stewardship perspective, so that people with the needs that are aligned can receive those services like home-based palliative care, and really to help target the resources where they're most needed. So people with serious or advanced illness now who are pre-hospice, meaning they're not thought to be in the last 6 months of life, have access to palliative care services under supplemental benefits for Medicare Advantage plans that have chosen to take that on. And many of the plans are now choosing to add that as a supplemental benefit. Duke University released a recent study that said that now 61 different Medicare Advantage providers are offering palliative care as a supplemental benefit. And that's up from 15 in 2019, just the year before. So really a multiplication of support and resources and accessibility for seniors around a very critical domain of health. So I think it's a really fantastic evolution in terms of how we can support our seniors in the needs that they have through Medicare Advantage.
Definitely, definitely. Now to follow up with that question, what are some possible barriers or complications to receiving this program?
Yeah, I think the core challenge in palliative care is really around awareness. You know, people who are experiencing serious illness know they have a serious illness, often are getting care from multiple groups and providers, you know, our team, oncologists, specialists, hospital-based teams. And yet somehow in the moment that unfolds, they may not be aware of what palliative care is or that it could be accessible to them. So I think that's one key opportunity, let's call it, for these programs as they engage as a supplemental benefit under Medicare Advantage or other supports, is patient education, patient awareness, proactive conversations that even this is something that might be useful for you and to have a conversation about it. I think it's also, you know, there's not a lot of access to palliative care overall. So many services are hospital-based. So this will clearly open the envelope up more. But it's still difficult to always access it in the way that's most convenient. And that's where we believe home-based palliative care has a huge opportunity. So those would be two areas that come to mind.
So yeah, and this is definitely, obviously, like you said, you know, it's more hospital-based care for most people. So this is definitely a growing industry per se.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. And then next, What is your view on the best way to integrate a palliative care into the patient's overall health plan?
I think that palliative care needs to be integral to all of healthcare. And I think that starts with patient education, really the ability to keep people informed about what serious illness means for them, the full spectrum of options, and really the important perspective that palliative care specialists have developed about symptom relief and making choices that are deeply personal as people advance through their care and they're confronted with new information about what their healthcare trajectory might be. So first, I think critically, patient education, public awareness, accessibility of these programs is really important. We'll enfold them in the fabric of all of our care in general, overall. The second is really to take the responsibility in our general care as primary care practitioners. I'm a practicing primary care physician with CareMore and previously, and I've had patients who've come to me in very severe stages of illness, even getting to the hospice stage where their life expectation was less than 6 months. And we've handled it all on the outpatient side. We've had clinic visits, they've gotten the right services as an outpatient, blood transfusions, different kinds of services that help their symptom decrease, help their functionality improve, and driven by their preferences and choices. And so as primary care physicians and clinicians and general care practices, I think there's a huge opportunity for us to reintegrate palliative care expertise into our daily practice, really, again, to serve that first point, which is patients have access and awareness. The last point I'd say is a lot of our care in this country is driven by specialty perspective. It's a great part of all the innovation in healthcare that's happened. We have therapies, diagnostics, interventional services. All of that has really occurred in the last 50 years, 50 to 70 years. Within some of our seniors' lifetimes, it's dramatically evolved. And our specialists have important expertise about what diseases mean, what people can expect in their healthcare. But I would suggest that specialty groups, which really define the clinical protocols about how we should care for different types of cancer or different stages of heart failure, integrate palliative care as an important component in consideration at the right moments in a patient's healthcare trajectory.
And is there anything up and coming in palliative care?
Yeah, palliative care, I think, is really about to explode in a good way. And if you take a step back, there's multiple studies that show that effective and timely palliative care support actually improves survival, definitely decreases symptoms and improves functionality. So it relieves suffering and actually saves unnecessary costs. And again, all of that comes from decisions and choices and services that are entirely aligned with people's conception of what they want in their health. That has to be the starting and end point. If palliative care was a pill, it would be a $100 billion pill, but it's not a pill. And so I do think that people are recognizing the importance and value for patients and populations around palliative care. And so I think we'll see growth in hospital-based palliative care services. There's a lot more job postings, many more training programs. I think we'll see a convergence of home-based care. There's other programs from CMS and the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation where primary care practices can actually shift more into the home and receive a capitation payment to care for high-needs patients. There's a serious illness population program as well, which is specifically focused on probably a palliative care-eligible population with advanced and chronic illness. And you have hospice companies that do a lot of palliative care as well, pre-hospice. So there's a convergence and growth of home-based care in general. And I think one thing that will happen for palliative care is integration and expansion from other home-based care entities to include the scope of palliative care, which I think will be very helpful for people going through these experiences and choices. And the last area I'd cite is really around analytics. Our team has spent a lot of time over the course of Aspire being developed and growing to analyze data to create predictive insights about who might benefit from palliative care services. And when you think about all the data that exists now in healthcare systems or health insurers and all the connectivity happening, we really do have an ability to not just wait for somebody to bring up the conversation, but to use the data to trigger a moment or consideration where a primary care physician, an oncologist, a home-based palliative care team could have a conversation with a patient and family so that they know their full option set and they know all the services available to them. And I think that's really exciting, and we found that to be very useful.
That's great. Thank you. And lastly, I just, obviously with everything going on right now, I wanted to get your thoughts around COVID-19 and how it's affecting Administer Home Care and technology.
Well, first, just on in terms of palliative care, you know, one thing I think that's happening in COVID, which I don't know if we fully reconciled yet, and I haven't personally yet as a physician, is just a large amount of suffering that's happening, and the confrontation of our own mortality that's happening through the consequences of COVID. And it's happening across a broader age range that's usual. People in their 30s, adults in their 50s, it's not just seniors. And so it's different than what we experience in seasonal flu, even very bad seasonal flu seasons. And I don't know what that means. I don't think we've had time to process that, but many more people across broader age ranges have confronted an experience where a loved one has passed away unexpectedly, or where they had the risk of that or the concern of that. And I think that will change things, and I don't know how. Home-based care has been fantastic, and I think that you see that many laggards in terms of moving care forward have now fully operationalized home visit services. You know, we're very fortunate to run a large house calls practice in many of our markets through CareMore and Aspire, and we've made full use of it. We've built a hospital at home program. That program's in full gear up right now, so that we bring services to people where they're comfortable, where frankly right now they can't really leave. It's not best for them unless they're protected. And we can come there and give them the services they need, the care, the oversight, the attention. And so we've accelerated home-based care ourselves, and I imagine that other healthcare entities that have done the same will keep that over time, and that will become a more permanent fixture. Within that is remote monitoring. You know, many patients with COVID have very low oxygenation levels. It's very concerning because it doesn't always manifest as shortness of breath. So we have patients going home or being served with oxygen monitors that they can put on, and they can be in contact with our case management and clinical teams about their oxygen levels. And in doing so, we preserve hospital access and ER access for folks with more severe versions of the condition. So I think remote monitoring is another area from technology perspective that there's really being a light shown on. There's really important needs around, and the whole ecosystem of home-based care and the surveillance that you can provide on patients' behalf in the home is really having a moment, and I think that will persist. There are many significant conversations happening now through technology-based means as doctors and nurses and other practitioners. We have physicians and nurses having video visits with patients and families where they discuss end-of-life goals, where they talk about a change in status. And sometimes those conversations end with a decision from the patient with their family support to choose a non-curative path, or to choose added palliative care services, or to choose something else. And that's happening by video more and more, and it's very effective. And I think what we've learned is it's about the people, it's about what they care about, it's about people bringing them perspective. It doesn't always matter whether it's in person or not. Clearly, we would all prefer that right. Human touch, that human presence. And on a final note about this point, you know, we have a great palliative care team of specialists through Aspire. One of the great joys I've had in the last month or two is actually seeing them mobilize to support our inpatient physicians, our hospitalists that we call extensivists, who care for our inpatients, our senior patients in the hospital every day in 5 different states. They developed a virtual palliative care consult program where they're accessible by video as experts in palliative care to our hospitalist physicians so that they can be counseled and supported in their care of their patients in a different state. And so to me, that just kind of symbolizes some of the lessons that are being learned, some of which you might have predicted, some of which you might not have predicted, and you know how we might all come together to support each other and support patients through this, through technology.
That's great. You know, it's not only, again, assisting, you know, patients, but everyone all around the spectrum, which is awesome.
Absolutely.
Awesome. And yeah, if there's anything else you'd just like to add for any of our listeners, viewers.
Well, I'd say Thank you, Brianna. You know, palliative care is a specialty that should be a part of general practice. And the perspective about how we make decisions about our health, also the services and innovation that have happened medically about how we can help people with serious illness, relieve their symptoms, and have better functional status. What that all comes down to is people feeling better about their days, people having less time where they're worried about their suffering, where they're feeling better, and where they can be a part of the things that they love to do. And so I just suggest to listeners and viewers that take a moment to read about palliative care, read the work of people like Dr. Diane Meyer, really luminaries and thought leaders in this field, and just have it in mind if you're ever confronting a serious illness conversation or issue, because those services and those perspectives are there for you and your family. So that's probably the main message I'd share.
Great. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your time, Vivek. Thank you for joining us. I apologize for the loud sirens if you can hear that in the background. Okay. But again, I thank you for your time and I appreciate it.
Same here. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and follow Managed Healthcare Executive on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on Managed Healthcare Executive, visit our website at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.